The next item on the agenda is public comments. This is the time for those individuals that would like to speak. Mr. James?
Thank you, Mr. Bowman.
Yes, sir. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good to have you here.
My name is Ellis W. James. I reside at 2021 Kennelake Place in the city of Norfolk. Members of the commission, I try to limit my appearances before you to those things that catch my attention that I think might be coming down the pike. There has just been and I hope that Vims has had a chance to tune into this also. There was recently a report about the fact that the ocean deserts have suddenly begun to expand much more rapidly than the scientists and the experts had anticipated. I hope I don't have to explain that, but this layman will certainly indicate clearly to you the ocean deserts are those areas where the nutrients and the species are becoming non-existent. I am concerned about this because the report did deal with both the Atlantic and the Pacific. Now, our watermen, of course, as we all know, are in deep trouble in a lot of ways. The last thing in the world we need is to get blindsided by some additional severe problems that are obviously beginning to enter our waters, whether it be off the eastern shore or on the Chesapeake side. And I would hope that the staff will simply pay attention to this, be sure that they're fully aware of what is going on and what the potential harm is as it relates to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much for the heads up. We appreciate it. Anyone else? Ms. Jenkins.
Thank you, Commissioner Bowman.
You're most welcome, sir.
Members of the board, Doug Jenkins, representing Twin River Watermen Association. If y'all remember back in March, I think it was, we had our first public comment on the new CRAB regulations. I presented y'all with a number of papers, and different things. One of them was the printout on the blue catfish. I don't know whether y'all read that or not, but it was very important information. The beginning of it says, blue catfish, bad actor in Virginia and the Chesapeake Bay region. And it goes down there and tells y'all how it spread, what it was doing, and at the last of it, it says, poses sufficient economical and ecological threat to the Chesapeake Bay region. That species is now in all your major rivers and tributaries, and they're in great abundance. That was not included in your blue crab management plan that was mentioned. And I had confronted since then different ones. Ron Lippis picked up on it, and he got off running with it, I think. And it needed to be.
I'm going to show you some photos that were taken last week.
Can we put them up on the screen? Would that be easier? Sunita can put those, and we'll have them on the screen so that the public can see them as well, Doug. Thank you.
And the reason I brought these down here to show them to y'all, because sometimes our comments and our remarks just sort of fall on deaf ears. Show that one. That's the first one. I'm showing you the traps that we catch them in. The bottom part of that is 4 or 5 blue catfish in, and that's a peel pot.
You can just lay it. Senator, thank
you. Well, I'm not finished yet.
I thought you were looking to lay another one down. I'm sorry, Doug.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Where you tell me where to lay them, not lay them. Just pick them up and put them there. Yeah. All right. I can do that.
Okay.
They the baskets we throw them in as we take them out of the pots. I won't give it all to you, because show you the process. You understand? That's one of the baskets that I bought at home, and that's the back of my pickup truck. And they had 9 catfish. I just picked up the baskets, laid them on the back of my truck. And you see some of the bellies are pretty well plump. Can you identify that? Back here, this one? All of them? I opened up 9 of those catfish. And 8 of them had eight of them had parts of saw crabs in every one of them, and some of them had whole jumbo saw crabs. This first one right here where I'm pointing, that's a crab claw, and the rest of them is his body. And the other one, the ninth one, had 2 small baby flounders in it. Oh, somebody gave me this one. This here's a rock station. And that bag there by his stomach here, that's loaded with small crabs. And the point I want to make to you, gentlemen, is the 3 predators in the Chesapeake Bay, the rockfish, the crocus, and the blue catfish, is taking their tolls by the millions and millions of small crabs. And this year alone, with a 30% reduction in our peel pots, my son and I has harvested as many peel crabs this past month than we did in the whole last season. And the other part of that is we've seen as many or more small crabs now as we have, and as I have stressed before, for the last 4 or 5 years around the shores and in the creeks. But we never see those crabs become adults. Now, you gentlemen on this board are fine people, and you were appointed here to do a job to manage with the staff the marine resources of this bay. And what I'm telling you today, if we had a couple more predators out there like the rockfish and the croaker and the blue catfish, you could ban crab potting altogether, and you still wouldn't have a good supply of blue crabs if something out there is going to eat them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, I showed you the bellies of these blue catfish. I think Ron and them met several weeks ago, and they're trying to estimate how many millions of blue catfish are out there. If y'all can't take that into consideration as a multi-species management plan, then y'all ought to throw your hats in circle and go and do something else, because we're not going to have a viable crab industry in the Chesapeake Bay anymore until we start doing a multi-species management plan. Right now, this invasive catfish is known throughout the United States, all the river systems that it was released in, that it took over that entire river system and ate up everything in it that was native there. The game department is in self-denial. They sent a representative at our waterland meeting, Bob Greenlee. We confronted him with the issues of the blue catfish eating the blue crabs, and he said, well, all the testing that they've done, they found very few blue crabs in it. The guys that got their master's degree disagreed with that, and they presented them with that program back in 2003, and they still deny it. Fact is a fact, and the fact is that this catfish has gone over the James and the York and the Rappahannock and the Pamunkey where they were released and all the other water systems. Just yesterday, I had a fisherman from Coles Point with fishes a small pound net in Machota Creek. He's catching anywhere from 150 to 250 pounds of blue cats a day, getting tents on the pine for him. And he bought me one, and he just cut open, and it had a mature-sized hard crab in his stomach. Not soft, hard crab. I should have froze it. I put it on ice and brought it down here to show you. But if you allow me at the next meeting, I'll bring you some catfish with a complete hard crab in the belly of it. Now, if Jack and the staff and the Vims and all the, and the game department don't think this is a serious matter, we got problems in our state. And I just want to make you all aware of it. I've been coming down here for, I guess, for the last 10 years. I probably missed two or three meetings. And I'm not saying I'm not coming back anymore, but I probably will. But I'm going to take 360 to Warsaw, and that goes to Richmond. Because I've asked them, and I've asked VMR staff, come with me, go it on the boat. I'll show you first-hand information. And I think I told you that, Commissioner Bowman. It may require you getting up at 4:30. I told you that in Senator Stewart's office. It may require you getting up at 4:30 in the morning. But I'll pay for your lodging, and I'll feed you. I can't do no more than that. If you want to address the problem and face facts, it's time to bite the bullet. Now, what can we do about the blue catfish? We can do a lot of it. We all can get on board, get with the state agencies, and find, you know, my suggestion is, I've been talking to people, we need some processing plants. We need them, and I'm writing a Preston Bryant letter saying that we need funds tone somewhere to some kind of a program or some kind of a processing plant on the James and in the Northern Neck. It's catfish, palm raised catfish sell for $6 a fillet in the markets. This fish is just as good as the palm raised catfish. Now the health risks on it, I'm not sure. If it does have a high count of PCBs, then you're going to have a hard time marketing it. But these smaller cats around 14 to 18 inches, and I think Vims can do this, should be able to. If it's not a health threat, then the prisoners and the school systems and all can use fillet catfish in their meals. As one of the North Carolina states south of us has got a lot of processing plants. One fisherman in our area sold 400,000 pounds of his pound this last year in the Rappahannock River, and he was selling a lot of them to Carolina. This year he went to sell them there, and the Carolina guy wouldn't buy them. He said, I got my license, I'm catching my own in the James. So they cut him out. We got a serious problem here, and what y'all can do to address it is dress that predator that's eating our blue crabs. And probably today you're going to be voting on some crab regulations. I might address them then too. But I can tell you one thing, that coal ring that you're going to harass a waterman putting into it is not going to let enough crabs go in there and feed a fourth of these catfish. We don't need that many coal rings in a pot. We need something to do with the predators, mainly the blue catfish now. Now, you can take what I have to say at value, or you can disregard it. It don't matter to me. I'm just bringing the facts down here for you. If you want to come on board, like I say, I'll put you up. Anybody you got in staff, go ahead and see for yourself. I'll bought you the pictures. I'll testify on the oath. I'll do whatever you require me to do. But it's time for something to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Your talk is very timely. I think Dr. Lipschitz will be up here shortly to explain the summit that we had the other day pertaining to this predator. So, very, very timely. Who's next? Pete. Good day, sir.
Excuse me, I took off the boat.
Always excused.
My name is Pete Freeman. I used to sit where you sang at. For years, 7 years of it, and I know how you what you do and how you do it and whatever. But the issues I got is I put some of the coal rings in my pots the new co-rings. I put 10 pots overboard with the new open co-rings in them. I put 10 pots alongside of them, just enough distance with the original co-rings into them. I lost over 25% of the credits from that pot that had the big co-rings in them. And another reason I'm against it, we're letting the little ones out for somebody else to catch. When you got feeler pots right there alongside of you, and you let all them them jimmies out, them little jimmies out, then the feeler pot takes them, breaks them up, he's gone. But that was one reason. That was one reason I want to speak to you. And the other reason is, I've been doing this in this business now to be 68 years. I've been crabbing, and I know a little bit about a crab. I can almost tell you where it swims and where it's going to bury, whatever. But when you put regulation on top of regulation, sometimes some of them can't be enforced. They're hard to enforce. I hate to see this deduction in crab pots. There ain't no way in the world that I can make a living after next year, 209, on 210 crab pots. There's no way. The fuel now rates $4.40 a gallon. I'm paying for fuel to go to work. Take me $120 a day to even go leave the dock and fuel. So 210 crab pots, I can't hire a man to work and keep and feed my pots and make any money. There ain't no way. It's impossible, actually. Right now I'm fishing 255, and I'm lucky to even break even on at the end of the week. Some weeks I have been the hole high as $500. My fuel bill last week, $550. Hired help, $480. Bait, $350. Now you figure it out. It takes a lot of money for us to work. So we're getting slapped at and hard, and I just hate to see it happen. Because we got plenty of crabs. Don't get me wrong. It's more crabs than I've seen in the last 5 years right now. There's so many out there that they ain't got enough pickers to pick them. That's one thing for sure. And if we have a lot of crab, why are we going to sell them? That's another thing we got. Why are we going to sell them? Crab house, we glued them up last week. If he hadn't sold some to Maryland somewhere or another, he wouldn't have, pick any. So we got a problem on the picker side, the market side, and on our side, where we have the price of everything is going up so high that it's hard to do. And the rockfish, we got a problem with the rockfish. I know the rockfish eat a lot of them because I was sitting into a restaurant Sunday, and a guy rockfish, and he was telling me about the rockfish he catches. He comes with a salt pond. He said, "I've seen a lot of little crabs in them." I said, "I have too." I said, "But we got that predator. We got the croaker predator. We got the spotted drum. We got everything up there." But they put it all in writing to say we're overfishing, but we're not overfishing. We're not overfishing because it's only about 700 crabs that's really working. Full time. And I don't see how we can be overfishing. I just want to let y'all know how I felt about it, about the coal rings, and about the cutting the 30% down. Maryland is sitting back laughing at us because they don't have females to worry about. And they are 70% male crabs and 30% female crabs. So what are they worried about us? We got 34%. We got to cut back. We don't have the male crab they can have. So I just want you to let you know how I felt. I've been rushing all day to get in here to try to catch y'all. But we've got problems, and I don't know how to solve them. I couldn't tell you how to solve them, even though I sat on that board a long time. I know problems can be solved, but they're hard to solve. I'm writing a letter to the governor. I'm writing a letter to Congress, so my congressman that I know is good friends of mine. We have got to do something on the internet to protect us some kind of way. We are getting regulated over the business. And that ain't the only problem. The only regulated business, fuel oil regulated business, bait regulated business. Last year was $10 a carton for bait for bunkers and gnats, $24 for 100 pounds. So everything going up except the crab. Crab's $20 a bushel. You figure it up, $20 a bushel for crabs. You can tell you how many is out there. So I just want to let y'all know what's going on. And appreciate you listening to me. Do the best you can for us, because we don't want money. I'm 80 years old. I'm not going to be there much longer, but I still want to work. As long as I'm able to work, I want to work. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Pete. Who's next? Smith?
Ken Smith, Virginia Warren. I've never known Doug to be at a loss for words, but he sat down. And I said, Doug, you didn't even say anything about the row in these fish. This is not, either my eyes are going bad or this isn't focused very well. But if you look at these fish, right here, right up here, every one of them has got rolling. And the bad part about this is that these fish have rolling them all year long. It's not just in the spring. They produce nonstop. Anyway, Doug said you can tell them so.
Thanks, Ken. Who's next? Okay.